Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. Before we dive in, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has left a review on my podcast. Here's a shout out to Shannon, who left a review and said, "Love it already. Just learned of your podcast yesterday. Already listened to two of them. Thank you for the practical ideas I can share with teachers." Thank you so much, Shannon, and everyone who's left a review here on the podcast. As a thank you, or you can think of it as a December gift exchange, if you leave a review on my podcast any time of year, sooner the better, just send me a message on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at Class Tech Tips, and let me know that you left a review. To say thank you for leaving a review, I'll send a special gift your way. So if you have a moment, please leave a review and then let me know by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram saying, "Hey Monica, I left that review for you." This week's episode is titled Tips for Creating Podcasts with Students with Dr. Michelle Hyken. Dr. Hyken's a middle school English teacher in Westchester, New York, and an adjunct professor of literacy at Manhattanville College. That's actually where we first met when I was there for an ed camp, and you'll hear us talk about it in today's episode. She is an author of multiple books, and I actually wrote the foreword for one of her books, Personalized Reading: Digital Strategies and Tools to Support All Learners, a few years ago. In today's episode, we talk all about podcasting with students, and you'll hear me mention her new Jumpstart Guide for ISTE, which I'll make sure to link to in the show notes for today's episode. Let's jump into my conversation with Michelle. Well, hello, Michelle, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. So excited to have you here. Now, I'm hoping we can jump right in to today's topic, all about creating podcasts with students and things folks might not know about podcasting with kids. But before we do, can you introduce yourself, share your role in education, and maybe what your day-to-day looks like?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Monica. This is so exciting. I feel like our worlds are always colliding in so many different spaces. But yes, my name is Michelle Hyken. I am an English teacher in Rye, New York. I've been teaching middle school English for over 20 years. And I also adjunct in the literacy department at a small college up in Westchester, New York, as well as I am an ISTE author and have published a few books on literacy and ed tech.
I think that's where we first met, was at an ed camp at Manhattanville.
Manhattanville, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And gosh, that's a throwback too. That was a while back.
Yes. Remember when we had conferences where we met people in person?
God,
I missed that. But but I will say there's so much rich PD from a virtual standpoint. Sometimes I'm bombarded with so many webinars and podcasts that it's like, I don't have enough time in the day to listen to everything and see and join everything that I want to.
Yeah, there's just so much out there. And it's been interesting, you know, I'm sure you're feeling the same way, where I get these like memories pop up on my phone that's like a year ago today or 2 years ago, you know, and then I'm just trying to remind myself to be thankful for all of those virtual opportunities now that are popping into my inbox as well.
Sure. And then, yes, I follow you on Instagram. So I'll see, like, you'll put a flashback, a throwback from when I was in Texas or when I was in North Carolina. And just I feel like everybody's like sense of travel right now is so heightened because we can't do it. And you're like, oh, but when I have the opportunity, this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to do this next. So maybe that will bring about a new space or opportunity for people when traveling is safe and we can go places again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been interesting too, because I know I've been doing a lot more driving, right, than flying. Mm-hmm. And I've always been consuming a lot of podcasts, right? I listen to a lot of podcasts, silly podcasts, news podcasts, education podcasts, right? Kind of all of the above. And I know that I've been listening to things kind of in a different way, right? So just as a consumer, been consuming podcasts in lots of different ways. And I'm just excited to unpack this idea of podcasting with you today and talk a little bit about podcasting with students, which is not something I've had a lot of hands-on experience with when it comes to working with students. The podcasting piece isn't one that I explored as a classroom teacher. And so I'm hoping you can share a little bit of your journey today to podcasting with students and what really made you realize that it was a powerful opportunity to get kids talking and sharing their learning.
Absolutely. You know, like you, I call myself a podcast junkie. Mm-hmm. But my foray and introduction into podcasts was probably more than 10 years ago, when I was driving home, and I live only like 30 minutes from work, but that 30 minutes is such a wonderful time to soak in mm-hmm. and listen to something, whether it's a great book on Audible or to listen to a podcast and catch up on some tech ideas or something engaging. But Friday afternoons on NPR at 3 o'clock was always Radio Lab. Mm-hmm. With Rob Krowich and Jad Abelrob. And I just got into that every Friday, that sometimes I would take detours just so that I could stay and listen for more than 30 minutes. And the more I listened to their podcast, I started like deconstructing them in my head. This is a speech to inform. It's a 5-paragraph essay. Mm-hmm. This paragraph is this evidence. And just in my head, the more I had the opportunity to listen, I was able to pull apart the craft, the structure, you know, all the things that we want our students to do when we want them to read a text closely. I was that podcast nerd doing that on my way home. And at the time, I was teaching a speech and debate class and for 7th and 8th graders. And when it was coming to, like, we would do a speech to inform or a persuasive speech, and then we get into debates, it just dawned on me, like, I need to have my students do their own Radio Lab style podcast. And that's where I started. And I would have my students listen to it, analyze it. I'd give them a graphic organizer, pay attention to, you know, the sound effects, what are the transitions? And we would have like a discussion around them and then partner up my students and they would come up with their own topic. You know, two of my students I remember who are now probably graduated from from college at this point, they took on who is the stronger superhero, Superman versus Batman, and did this whole analysis of that. And that really, after doing that for a while, I ended up getting into a few more podcasts and again, like just would start to analyze the style and what they were doing and how can I bring this into my classroom as a text to analyze as well as something to model. And not only do I have my students listen to a podcast and we talk about it and discuss it, now they create their own and they could be on all different various topics. It could be through like a choice project all the way to like everybody's doing a podcast. So like I do a mystery unit, a reading and writing unit with my 8th graders, and the students have a choice to write a murder mystery short story, to create a murder mystery movie, or to create a murder mystery podcast. And so that's like where I provide choice versus right now my students are doing their own investigative research and going to spin that into a podcast and they choose their topic. But it's all scripting and writing a 5-minute podcast episode.
I love that. Well, I love just the idea of using something both with that consumer and creator lens, right? So unpacking it, I know having taught ELA at a fifth grade level for 7 years or so, you know, that idea of mentor texts and really looking at something closely and gathering examples, you know, there's so much that happens there from that close reading or close listening. So it's wonderful to think about that being part of your journey too, you know, as that consumer of podcasts and then bringing that creation, you know, into the classroom and into the group that you're working with. And so if someone is, you know, maybe a consumer of podcasts, right? They're listening to this, I guess, right? So they probably have a couple others on their account that they subscribe to. What are some tips for someone who might want to get started for the first time? You mentioned graphic organizers and scripting. Are there any kind of getting started tips that you like to share with other educators?
Well, I think once the educator knows, like, okay, we're going to do a podcast about, then you can start like setting up the elements. Like, I'm always scaffolding my assignments and thinking about all the diverse learners in my classroom and what they might need to help them and support them as learners. I mean, the first thing we need to demystify is that the podcast doesn't have to be an hour-long Radiolab serial episode. I mean, a podcast could be a little snippet of a 5-minute of who, what, where, like, or students starting by retelling a story or informing their audience about a specific topic. And once that is sort of clarified of what the podcast is going to be, then I think like looking at those models and mentors can really help students to then begin to jot down where they want, what they want to say. And it depends on the comfort level of the students. Do they want to write the entire script out, or do they have an annotated outline of those key points that they want? Once a lot of those, and look, those parameters might be set and evolving as the assignment is moving along. And I think that's okay as well. But in terms of the first place is deciding where and what the podcast is going to be about, then I would say definitely look at those models and mentors, and then begin to plan before we create.
I love that idea of the learning goal really being front and center for you, right? So that sort of task before apps is the phrase I use all the time, right? Just focusing in on what is it we really want to get out of this experience from a content perspective, and then working backwards with those examples and with those different scaffolds and supports for kids along the way. And I would imagine, with your background, right, as an English language arts educator, right, there's some connections to, right, the rubrics and checklists and standards and all the things that were happening before this medium, you know, came to, like, your list of things that you might bring to a group of students. Are you finding that some of those same resources connect to podcasting as well?
Absolutely. I mean, in any project or assignment, you know, providing your students with a checklist, a how-to, those are all great tools that are really going to support your students. The one great thing about the literacy standards, whether we're talking about the Common Core or even I teach in New York State, so the New York State literacy standards, is that they don't define a text as a print text. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a multimodal element that is visual, audio, print, I mean, all those things. So, I mean, here we are in the 21st century and we're able to adapt and to play with the diverse amount of text that we have.
No, I mean, I think that's just such an important reminder, especially if someone might be in a situation where they don't know if there's going to be that same sort of buy-in with their colleagues or administrators when they're presenting this as another way to look at narrative or persuasive or explanatory text, and just the variety of podcasts that are out there, whether it's an interview or someone talking about a topic, or probably one of my favorite examples was the one that came out, I want to say last year, maybe this time last year, that was Dolly Parton's America. I don't know if you listened to that one, but it had all this music and sound effects and this other like level of production that just for me really helped kind of me wrap my head around all the options, you know, that are out there too. And so, you know, if someone does have some of those basics down with their group, maybe they're feeling good about the 5-minute solo or partner recordings that their students are doing, are there some next level things that they can consider trying out with their students?
Absolutely. Those little bells and whistles, like you're saying. I mean, that was the one piece that I was so attracted or I gravitated to with Radiolab was those sound effects, the interviews, and it was all spliced together with the music, the intro music, the outro music. I love that. So if you, I'll say, dabbled in podcasts and you're ready to like add those bells and whistles per se, you can, you know, look at the different websites or platforms that offer copyright-free sound effects. You can have students, maybe they're collecting stories in their neighborhood, within their family, and they want to include sound bites of interviews. I mean, you can have a whole conversation and a whole lesson about diegetic versus non-diegetic, those sounds that, like, what are the sounds that come natural in our movies and our podcasts? And then what are the sound effects that are added later on to bring in those elements? I mean, I got hooked into, especially when, and I found it based on, it was a recommendation in the New York Times, just like they were saying, like, what are the great podcasts to listen to? And I stumbled upon the Tig Torres mystery series. Mm-hmm. And it was this like half hour, like podcast radio show, like solving a mystery that was so like fascinating. And like there was all different sound effects and you'd hear them like out in the leaves walking through the grass in the fall, or, you know, they'd bring in like funny sound effects. For students to think about where are those places that it fits. And they could come up and they can use different ones right on the computer using different, there's all different websites that offer copyright-free sound clips and music. Or if you're using something like Anchor to create your podcast, Anchor already has the music available for you to set up your intros and your outros and even your little interludes and include that music choice. Because that's a huge discussion and lesson to have. What is the best music that is going to set the tone or establish some mystery or entice your listeners to want to stay on?
Yeah. And it's just, it's interesting too, because I think about this when I talk about videos a lot or kids making videos, right? This idea of what is the mood or the theme or the color palette, right? And that same thing goes, of course, with the audio too. You can have some really rich discussions with students about how to connect with an audience, what it is you want someone to feel when they're listening to it, and how that might even go alongside with just the genre, right, of your writing. And there's definitely tools, as you mentioned, Anchor, right? Soundtrack, GarageBand, right? Lots of tools that are out there and available for folks who are getting started or for those who are diving in a little bit deeper. And I know that you have a jumpstart guide. I've got one. I'm not on my desk right next to me, but I've got one in my office. And it's a fantastic resource for someone who wants to get started with podcasting. And so I'd love to hear a little bit from you just about that jumpstart guide, kind of what is it, what someone will find inside of it. And maybe even if you have any kind of behind the scenes, you know, what the process was like to get that jumpstart guide out into the world.
Sure. Well, it's interesting because in my book, Writing New Realms for Writing, I had my first chapter was about doing these investigative science articles with my students. And one of the options was for them to create a podcast based on the investigative article. And then I sort of sat down with my editor and said, oh, I like, look at all these jump starts like your own. Like, these are amazing. Oh my gosh. Who needs to write a book now? Let me just get a small little chunk of information of what I need. And so I pitched a few jumpstart guides and she was like, okay, hold on. Let's start with the podcasting one first. And I was like, okay, awesome. And really wanted to just like make it easy and accessible for educators, for ed tech coaches, you know, if I want to get started with podcasting, like we're having this conversation, mm-hmm. where do I start? So there are, like I talked about, finding models and mentors and give links to different like graphic organizers that I've created and utilized with my students. And there's a podcasting checklist, how to plan it out. And I talk about the different types of sounds. I provide different links to copyright-free sound clips and talk about equipment that you, if you want to add. But the reality is that we don't really need to get fancy equipment for podcasting. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we have our Chromebook, we have a phone, we have a tablet, we have an iPad, we can just use that in order to record. And granted, Anchor, I think, is great, or Soundtrap, or Spreaker. Those are all great podcasting platforms as well. But like before all those, I was using Audacity mm-hmm. on my desktop in my classroom and miking up my students and by hand recording the MP3 files and uploading it onto my classroom website. Now that we're all, a lot of schools are Google schools, you can record your meet and almost have like mm-hmm. screencast your podcast. So we don't have to necessarily utilize the platforms that are there. There are great platforms. I've experimented in all of them. I also give 6 different podcasting assignments that people can try out if they're not sure what sort of like what are some podcast activities I can do with my students. I mean, I've shared ones that I'm doing now with my students that I've done in the past, but you know, maybe if you're a science teacher or you're a social studies teacher, I mean, you can do something historical. You can do science-based. So there's lots of, in terms of the guide, it's just a quick go-to that offers reasons and resources why we can use podcasting to really drive our students' creativity as well as access our literacy and our technology standards.
And that's, I mean, it's just one of the reasons why I'm so excited about this resource that you've created, is because it's not just in one content area or one subject area. It's just like you said, really all about fostering that creativity and getting kids just sharing their learning in a format that we might be comfortable with as consumers, but is not as hard as it might seem to really get kids, you know, making and creating something. And so I'm going to make sure, Michelle, to have a link so anyone who's listening to this now can find your jumpstart guide really easily right in the show notes for today. But if listeners want to follow up or connect with you or follow along and learn more about your work, where can they find you?
Absolutely. And thank you so much. I have a weekly blog, theteachingfactor.com, and I'm always sharing out what I'm doing in my classroom and sharing resources that I create with my students for other teachers to utilize and adapt and to make their own. I'm Twitter, Instagram at the Teaching Factor or Teaching Factor, also sharing more ideas out there, but definitely connect with me or questions. I love connecting and collaborating with other educators. That's a perk of being a teacher.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Michelle. This was so wonderful.
Monica, thank you so much. And I hope everybody stays safe and stays well.
Thank you. It was so much fun having Michelle on the podcast today and talking about a topic we both love, which is podcasting. So just like every episode, let's finish up with a few quick tips to make this tech and tech easy. First, have your content or learning goal in mind. Next, pick out some mentor texts or examples of podcasts you can share with students. Then, have graphic organizers or extra support to help students as they make their own podcast a reality. And finally, celebrate. Make sure students have a chance to share what it is that they've made and let others listen to their great work. Just like every episode, I'll make sure that you have easy and quick access to all of the resources. Just click wherever you're listening to this. So if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you'll see a link right in the description area. Or if you're already on the show notes page at classtechtips.com/podcast, you'll find everything for the episode right here. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow at Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations remotely now with webinars and virtual professional learning. So if your group is in need of professional development, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.